Welcome to the Field Sales Leadership Guide podcast, where we discuss with experienced and successful sales leaders what works and what doesn't in the sales profession. Join us as we tap into high-performing sales leaders and their passion for field sales. We've lined up for you some of the smartest movers and shakers in sales leadership to share their formulas for success and the tricks of the trade. Join us as we pull back the curtain, giving you actionable insights and strategies that you can use with your sales team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Field Sales Leadership Guide podcast. Joining you today is, yes, JT Rimby is here, but Mary Keough of Not My Customers is doing our intro for today because I am the one who forced JT into this conversation. So, little background, love marketing podcasts, love sales podcasts, and one of my favorite sales gurus on LinkedIn is a guy by the name of Carl Ferreira. We'll put a link to his LinkedIn in the show notes. And he was telling the LinkedIn community, you know, sales was easy 2019, 2020, 2021, especially in the B2B technology space. And it was more just, hey, why are you better than XYZ competitor? Can you give me a better price? Can you do this? Sales was very easy. Now we're running into an economic slowdown. You know, there's talks of a recession. So sales is getting more difficult. And the way that Carl puts it is that means you actually have to sell things. And one of the big questions that he posed to his LinkedIn audience was, why do I need to change? That's the question that people really need to start answering for their potential customers and prospects. So JT and I are going to do a form of that in today's podcast. We just want to explore some customer stories of why people decided to make the change. Now, this might be a change of shifting their CRM completely, why they needed to change their tech stack to maybe augment their current one, or why they needed to switch CRMs completely. So basically, we're just going to go through a few customer case studies of why change. Why did our customers decide to make the big leap? JT, do you have anything to add into our intro before we start chit-chatting?
You did a great job setting the table there. But in short, the three or four examples that we go through today all have a very common theme of leadership within each company, understanding the necessity of data and the necessity of processes. So the unfortunate reality, as we continue to learn all the time, specific to the outside sales world, even mentioning those two things together, data and processes, people get a nervous tick and they start getting like thinking that it's synonymous with Big Brother. And I kind of don't blame them because the outside sales world has been bitten time and time again by big CRMs that were never designed for outside sales teams. So data and processes is going to be the theme of somebody on the executive team or at the leadership level, understanding those necessities.
Awesome. Love that, JT. Okay, so we're going to jump into our first customer use case. This was one of the first case studies I got really familiar with as I was onboarding with Map My Customers. And this is a company in the nonprofit religious organization insurance space. And I just loved listening to some of the sales calls with JT and their leadership team because they were just so passionate about needing to make a change. So one of the lines I'll never forget is one of their big senior leadership C-suite executives said, you know what, JT, what we're using now is spreadsheets and notebooks, and it's archaic, and frankly, it's embarrassing. And me as a marketer, you know, honing in on the emotional aspect of wanting to make a change or noticing something within their organization, you know, my interest is immediately piqued. So they knew they needed to make this change because they knew they needed this data and processes to kind of make this big switch within internally in their organization. So JT is obviously much more acquainted with this account than I am. So he's going to give you guys a little bit more background on why they needed to make this change and how it went.
Firstly, the folks at this particular organization, top-notch human beings, like great to speak with. And one of the things that really is refreshing to me is when you have frontline sales leaders, RVPs, regional sales managers, all the way up to the VP and then to the C-suite, all talking about how will this impact our actual outside sales team? Will it provide value? Will it be easy to use? When they're so focused on those things, you typically have really good results. So that said, just a little bit more about this particular company. These guys are the 800-pound gorilla in the room, established, very long tenured, top dog in the space. Over the years, this is self-admitted, they became complacent. Leadership recognized that there was a culture loss of being a sales-driven organization. They became order takers, and that's their words, not ours. Moreover, they admittedly bought the wrong CRM. They purchased a really large CRM that is really focused specifically in the financial space. It's fantastic use for an inside sales rep on a desktop, but not what an outside sales rep needed administratively or ease of use or value-wise. So new executive leadership was brought in, and this new leadership recognized that the biggest thing that they needed was a culture shift in getting back to being a sales-driven organization. So what that meant was getting out into the market, building relationships, maintaining relationships, educating the market, and ultimately what they call earning the right to quote. So the right CRM for them, they vetted this through the lens of the actual sales reps. They were looking for reps to maximize time in the field, become more efficient in their day by not driving by revenue because they have such a huge total addressable market, and ultimately knowing who to see and when to see those customers. So the overall theme for them was having a CRM that reps see as valuable and easy to use, because ultimately that is what delivered data for them. They weren't able to coach their reps. They weren't able to say, this is my top rep. Let's mirror for the entire sales organization what our top rep does. They were totally flying blind. So they put an emphasis on value from the rep's perspective and ease of use from the rep's perspective in order to ultimately capture and deliver data.
Love it. That was awesome, JT. Really good summary.
You're great folks there as well. I mean, just top notch individuals. And one of their top leaders was a huge Steelers fan as well. So that always makes me smile.
So JT was really excited.
Yeah.
We are going to move on to a company whose VP of sales is not a Steelers fan, admittedly, on this show. And sadly, is JT's greatest rival, though they remain friends to this day. This is a company we talk about very frequently at Map My Customers because the VP of sales there, Joe McDonald, is just an excellent human being and is really open to helping us kind of get into the mind space of a VP of sales of an outside sales organization. So this is Jasper Engines and Transmissions. This is another one I studied pretty deeply, you know, them being one of our best customers. They had this homegrown CRM system and, you know, not mobile first, clunky. Reps were having to log data in multiple places, like repetitive. So a lot of like copy and pasting. So Joe noticed this increasing administrative burden on his reps, and he knew he needed to change if he was going to ask them to do more in the field. So because of this increasing administrative burden, they weren't able to do what they were meant to do. And that's really build customer relationships. So JT, take it away. Give us some more color on the Joe McDonald Jasper Engine story.
I will put a plug in for Joe. He has, I've been at Map My Customers for just over 2.5 years now. And Joe, of all of the executives, that I get to work really close with. Joe has built out a process at Jasper that I think should be the model for outside sales organizations. Joe uses phrases like measure what matters. And quite honestly, the vast majority of outside sales executives and leaderships that I get to work with, they don't know what matters. Everybody will say, well, revenue, JT, what do you measure that actually gets you to revenue? Do you understand what the revenue producing activities are that ultimately lead to your organization getting paychecks or invoices paid each and every month? And Joe does. So he starts with measure what matters. He then implements the scenario of how do we make that easy for the reps to actually accomplish and log. So with that foundation laid, as you can imagine, an organization the size of Jasper, they've got 180 outside sales reps. Joe's phone rings off the hook from all of the big bopper CRMs almost on a daily basis. And so as he evaluated the sales forces of the world, the dynamics of the worlds, the SAPs, the Oracles, all of those companies started with how reporting would impact his team. And he knew well out of the gate that they were way too complex for his actual reps in the field. Mary referenced this, but before they had Map My Customers, their poor outside sales reps were doing a pre-planned call sheet each morning to say, these are the 15 stops I'm going to make today. This is who I'm targeting. This is what I'm going to talk about. And they were filling out Google Sheet after Google Sheet after Google Sheet. And then at the end of the day, they were going back into another Google Sheet to log all of the activities of who they actually spoke with, what they spoke about. And it was over an hour of admin time each and every day. That's at the rep level. You then get to the regional sales manager level, who oversees the territory managers, and they're absorbing 8 of those pre-call plans in the morning, 8 of those post-activity reports at the end of the day, and then they're consolidating all of those into an executive level report summary where the regional VPs and then ultimately Joe can review. And it was an absolute tick-inducing administrative burden across the entire organization. So to Joe's credit, he'll tell you today that measuring what matters is revenue producing activities, providing value for the rep, knowing who to see and when to see them, and making it unbelievably easy for a rep to log necessary data. So Joe's one of my favorite people. If you ever want to learn processes, look Joe up. He loves speaking about them. And he's a great resource to have in your corner.
Yeah, love that. So just to kind of wrap it up here at that case study level, we have leadership team recognizing a very big problem, not only for their reps, but, you know, all the way up the chain, and realizing they just need something different and realizing they need something that's focused on the rep first. Love it, JT. That was great. So our next one, we're going to move and shift spaces here into medical device. And this company in particular is kind of a budding medical device company. So they're in that mid-size, trying to grow, become a larger one. So they have pretty decent processes at the marketing and leadership level. So they would get, you know, lists of potential prospects. They would upload that list into a CRM and then say, okay, sales team, go attack this list. But the problem with that is there was no way for the reps to know which accounts to see and when to see them, to JT's point, and then no easy way to log data. So to say whether this was a good fit prospect or not, why or why not, and no really good way to just kind of put that into an ecosystem where other reps could learn from it. So JT, take it away from there.
I actually really like what this particular company does. They do early stage lung cancer diagnostics. Testing is probably a better way for my vocabulary. They have Salesforce. They've had Salesforce for years. And Mary, you actually relate to this. One of the things that their director of marketing struggled with was taking fantastic high intent leads where an office manager at a pulmonologist office has expressed interest in learning more and actually disseminating that into a workable, actionable manner for the sales rep to attack quickly. So it's one thing for outside sales reps to have that data, but when you have it in a list form, it makes it challenging for outside sales reps to be able to quickly flock to the watering hole in an efficient manner. So this particular company, they leverage Map My Customers in a way where a rep can go and see the pulmonologist at the right time immediately when they express interest, or visually segment accounts if the number of diagnostic tests drops below 30 each month, where a simple pin color can change immediately and say, you know what, this pulmonologist office, this practice averages X number of diagnostic tests each month, and then all of a sudden it drops. Get there, JT the rep, and see what's the cause of that drop. So ultimately, it goes back to they clearly get the understanding of the necessity of data. What they were missing was the ability to implement that data in a valuable, easy-to-use way for the reps to actually attack those accounts and service them well.
Yeah, you know, as someone who's a customer-focused marketer, self-proclaimed, I just love that from the customer lens, because as the pulmonologist office, so, you know, you're heading up that office, you're the office manager, you're the doctor there, you're one of the nurses. You have somebody come in and just say, hey, I noticed you guys weren't giving out as many tests. Is there not as many people coming in? Like, are they not working properly? Someone who notices this, but then uses that opportunity to build a relationship and see what the problems are within that office specifically, is just not only, you know, data processes doing, you're building real customer relationships there. You're actually getting closer to the person at that account level.
Yeah. So I always liken it to, like, there's no outside sales rep that's out there going, no, I don't want high intent leads in my territory. Of course they want high intent leads, but if it's not made easy for them to know where those leads physically are in relation to other accounts that they also need to see, they're still going to gravitate to their normal routines. So you have to make it easy for them to know where those high intent leads are, or where those critical accounts are to go see in an efficient manner.
Yeah, 100%.
Can I add one more in the med device space?
Of course. Yes.
So to be clear, this is not. I'm gonna reference a story here that is not a current customer of ours. It's specifically in the heart space, cardiology space. They've got about 100 outside sales reps. They leverage Salesforce. This story makes me chuckle and. Maybe chuckle in a sad way, because I've heard this somewhat frequently. This particular company cannot tell you how frequently their territory managers are in the field. They cannot tell you how many stops or face-to-face meetings the average rep does in a day. And so what their team came up with, their leadership team, was, you know what, we need to incentivize them to log activity in Salesforce, because we need the data. Leadership team knows the value of data. They're trying to incentivize the reps to input the data. So what happened? This particular company is on a quarterly commission schedule. They pay out commissions quarterly. They were tying a spiff, or additional commissions, a kicker, on top of their quarterly commissions as long as all activity was logged throughout that quarter. You're probably knowing where this goes, but what they ended up finding out is that magically all of their reps had an administrative day, the last day of the quarter, where activity levels just shot through the roof, because everybody's like, well, I'm logging all my activities for the last 89 days of the quarter so that I can get my particular kicker. What's worse than having no data is having the wrong data. So while the intentions were good to actually capture that data by incentivizing the reps, because there was not an easy way to capture it, they actually got inundated with garbage data in. which has a dramatic effect on the business near term and certainly long term as well.
Yeah, what a like fantastic study in just human nature too, JT. Like, it makes that story always makes me laugh too.
Yep. That's awesome. So look, in short, placing value on data, a great thing across all of these three or four examples. Leadership understands the value of data. But if you don't put that value of data in a valuable way for the rep while making it very easy for the rep to leverage it, you're going to miss the mark.
Yeah. Okay. So going to do a quick summary before we introduce our final case study here. So we have folks who are frustrated at the leadership level because their CRMs are not working, the reps aren't logging the right data, or the current way they are logging data is just an administrative burden to these reps. So we have a lot of feelings of like anger, frustration, you know, human nature at its best and worst in a lot of ways. Now I want to move to a good story because this is one where the company leadership team, so it's this big sporting goods. So they do like hunting, fishing gear, and they like distribute it throughout both small and big box stores. And they acquired a new company. And they realized with their expanded sales force that they needed a solution. And they saw the solution that a big box store, it was proprietary, so they couldn't use it anywhere else. But they saw the ease of use of this tool used by the big box store. And so they were actually like really excited. They came to JT like, I don't know, that's the only way I can really describe it, JT. Like they were excited to try something new. They really wanted, like they knew they needed to do something different and they were excited to do it.
Yeah, those are some fun conversations when they come in really, really educated with, we need an easy way to strategically segment our counts and validate growth models for the retailers that we serve. So the technology stack that you were just referencing for the big box retailer was the impetus for all of this. One of the ways that they're securing relationships with the other retailers that they serve is by validating to them how frequently they're going into the store, helping them merchandise, helping them restock shelves, do end caps, point of purchase displays, all of that fun stuff. But this is still a family-owned business, really large company. But the unique thing about it is they totally get the demographic of their sales rep to say, look, this will be valuable to them, but it has to be, again, I'm a broken record with this, unbelievably easy because we have operated solely on notebooks, post-it notes on the dashboard, and headsheets for our entire existence.
My personal favorite during that story was, I think he told us one of the reps there was famous for writing all his orders on cigarette boxes. That was my favorite.
I forgot about that. That is awesome. Yes. So I don't think that is SOC 2 compliant either.
Not exactly.
That's awesome. Great ad there.
All right. Awesome. So we have 5 really unique cases of companies who knew they needed to make a change in their organization. So we have problems they're experiencing being, you know, a new go-to-market motion. They acquired a new company. They have an expanded workforce. They know they need to do something different. We have maybe data is going into a system that isn't accurate. We have a not easy way for reps to log said data. We have reps experiencing an increasing administrative burden. And then we have stagnating revenue that was drilled down to a lack of proactive sales rep activity. So overall, you know, the big summary takeaway is sales leadership is realizing the value of data and processes and realizing that the only way to get valuable data to feed said processes is to make something, a way to log that data, unbelievably easy and valuable for the rep first.
I still chuckle, Mary. It's 2023 and we're talking about the necessity and value of data. The outside sales world has been jaded by a lot of imperfect fits with platforms that were never designed for them. So until it catches on that there are ways to make it valuable and easy for the outside sales rep to capture that data, so that you can measure what matters. We're going to continue to beat the drum on data matters. You got to get into that fold.
Yep. Love it. All right, JT, we're going to wrap it up. That was an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for coloring those use cases and just highlighting the real value and kind of change we're experiencing in outside sales. I think it's really exciting, and I appreciate your thoughts as usual.
Thanks a bunch, Mary. Thanks to all the listeners. Have a great day.